Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Realistically, this plant could be online in 2029, possibly.
Possibly. The things I don't have control over is funding. This is going to be an expensive project in totality when you look at all the different pieces, additional spray fields, the dual-purpose pump station, and the regional lift station going in at the prison. All of those, you're probably north of $100 million. So funding is going to be a big element and the timing of that to get all this work done.
Yeah, you remember how the city of Milton had a basically paid for, designed, had the land ready to go, sign the deal, dig the dirt. We'd have a wastewater treatment plant that would process initially 2 or 4 million gallons of wastewater per day up to a total of 8 at maximum when they expanded all the modules eventually. And then the new people in the city council decided that, you know, I mean, they got elected largely by political push from the Save Our Blackwater people, or who I call the Pitchfork Posse. You know what they should do? The Pitchfork Posse has been so involved in Milton politics. Like, you hear from them more than you hear from the city council in the city council meetings. I just got done watching the most recent meeting, and I mean, I don't want to say they are running the show, but you could draw that conclusion. It's almost like they ought to just make them a committee. Just make the Save Our Blackwater Advisory Committee for the City of Milton. Let them meet and make their recommendations to the City Council in an official capacity. I mean, they'd probably consider it a loss of power. But, you know, anyway, it'd be kind of funny if they embraced the title. I'm not the only one that calls them that anyway. So this is talking about the wastewater treatment plant with Jim Anderson. He's the employee of record for BDI, Baskerville Donovan, talking with Robert Leake. And the answer is, well, now that you've scrapped that, here's the new one, $100 million. Neat. In a time of budgetary constraint, by the way. But this is where we are. Okay. So what are the options? One of the things that had come up in the conversation about that big wastewater treatment plant had been the filtering of PFAS chemicals, or so-called forever chemicals, out of the treated effluent, like at the back end, sorry, of the wastewater treatment plant. But, you know, when you've cleaned it from wastewater to spray field or, you know, treated effluent that's basically drinkable, but just not technically, you know, to that standard, then what? Well, you know, can we get rid of the PFAS because of the question about discharging that water into the wellfield protection area in Milton in Santa Rosa County, which is where all of the aquifer draws from? That's actually allowed because it's not prohibited. But in any case, the citizens had raised that as a question. And there had been a company that had come and pitched them on a plan that they were working on. Meanwhile, Jim Anderson says, yeah, nobody's really ready to do this.
I reached out to the PFAS company. I believe they did a presentation here to council and checked with them. They don't have a solution that's ready for prime time. They've got bench scale testing. They don't have a pilot unit. They don't have any units in production. I also checked with larger vendors that provide all kinds of wastewater process equipment, and they're the same way. They don't have any installations in the U.S. Basically, it's a, you know, preparation for future regulations.
Yeah, right now it's basically a little bit past just the theoretical stage, but it's not really the implementation stage. And part of the reason is because, remember, the EPA came out with these guidelines last year that we're supposed to get to, you know, basically if you can detect it, you shouldn't be detecting any. Is the level. And that's for drinking water. But when it comes to wastewater, that not waste, but treated effluent, which is, again, very, very clean, there is no standard for that because that's going to get sprayed in the ground. And look, you know, PFAS is everywhere. It's in everything. It's in rainwater, for goodness sakes. And so there's no standard on that. And so it's not required to treat it. But what he's saying is also you don't have anybody that's really designed that back of the process kind of treatment yet. I mean, they're going to, surely. But then again, under the Trump administration, the push to have this stuff regulated is not nearly as strong.
The Trump administration has removed PFAS effluent requirements. They are no longer being considered by the EPA. So any preparation for that is theoretical.
Right, because there's not even at this point any necessary expectation that there's going to be a treatment standard for the effluent. But we can still build you a plant that's capable of inserting something after the fact if that comes to be available.
After that plant's online, you could construct a side stream process and then direct your flow through it. And we'll make that preparation with pipe fittings. But the process doesn't exist to do what you want right now with PFAS.
Something in me that wants to make a joke about directing the flow through. But okay, whatever. In this context, everything's a little bit tongue-in-cheek funny. Mike Cusack, one of the leaders of the revolution now, the leaders of the new regime, so to speak, says...
Additional acreage required for spay fields. How much more acreage do we need?
I don't have
a lot's not, I'm just 100 acres, 500 acres. I'm just.
I would say less than 500. It's certainly going to be a few hundred if it's all done by spray field. If we can find a site that's suitable for rapid rate disposal, and by that I mean rapid infiltration basins, you can get more bang for your buck on the land.
What he's talking about here is after you process it, you've got to have a place to put it back in the ground. Now, right now, the wastewater treatment plant in Milton puts it into the Blackwater River, which they've been told to get it out of the Blackwater River. It's that clean that it can be sprayed right in. That's very normal. But all of your municipalities in Florida have been told to get it out of their waterways by, oh, God, the name. I think it's 2032, if I remember correctly, the date. Sorry. We had an early termination because the salt water is intruding north into the Blackwater River, and they don't want to give them until 2032. They said get it out by December of this year, actually. Well, that is obviously not going to happen. They're in a process of asking for what they're asking for is to be able to do it by 2032 like everybody else, depending whether that will happen. But if you're going to not put it into the water where you've got to be able to put it onto land somewhere, do you just spray it generally over kind of open ditch? Spray field or over grass or like a golf course or something like that? Do you spray it over what are called rapid infiltration basins, which are meant to go kind of deeper into the ground and filter more quickly? And the advantage of that is you get a smaller footprint that you need for the volume of water you're going to do, and you don't have to have overflow tanks for that. Because when rain falls, it tends to use up your ground's ability to accept the wastewater into the treated effluent into it. And so when you do spray fields, you have to have surplus storage capacity just in case you've got a big rain, and that also takes up a lot of land because you not only have to have the spray field, but you have to have the land for the storage area. And he's basically saying, look, somewhere shy of 500 acres, we have less need if we can have the ribs. And he's explaining that the ribs are good because, again, you don't have the extra storage that you need to have. And here's where Mike Cusack is going to demonstrate that what he thinks he understands is not what is actually important. And that's important because Mike was one of the key people to kill the wastewater treatment plant, but I could hash this 1,000 times and it would still come up with the same answer. I don't think he usually knows what he's talking about, especially in this regard.
Yeah, well, we went down this ribs process in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't work, did it?
Well, it was never built. I think it would have worked.
The engineering done for that, it was determined that it wasn't a feasible option. Is that correct in the past?
Not by this engineer.
Because I'm the engineer of record, and I told you that plant was in a good location, and I told you that the ribs would work, and I have an actual engineering certification, and I put it on the line on this project. You, with no such thing, said that you thought that it wouldn't work in either case, and so, yeah, no, you saying that it wouldn't work is based on your civilian opinion. My saying it would work is based on my actual training and expertise and my license, but okay. So back to the issue of 2025 versus 2032, they're working on that, and he's hopeful that they won't be punitive. FDEP, Florida Department of Environmental Protection, won't be punitive against Milton for failing. Although, here's the thing I look at. If I'm at FDEP, I have the city of Milton that is, even before, was going to be tight to hit 2025, to hit the end of this year. There's no way they're going to hit it now. And you look at them and you say, well, have you done anything? Well, they booted the project that would have solved the problem. At least eventually, they would have been making progress. Now they have no progress to look at. So, you know, your teacher gives you a deadline and you come back with, well, I didn't finish it. Why? Well, it's not that the dog ate the paper. It's that I ate the paper. Okay, when's it going to be done? I don't know. Well, are you working on it? You know, if you're inclined to punish them, like with a daily fine of thousands of dollars, They can. Are they going to? Well, you know, it's up to anybody to figure out. We're just going to have to wait and find out if that's the case. So that's kind of where we stand. And, you know, without getting into too much of the politics of it all and who's, you know, running the show, my opinion is that the wrong people are running the show. And so I don't, in fact, I mean, Mike Cusack's opinion is we shouldn't even build a wastewater treatment plant. It's too expensive. Meanwhile, the budget director gets up in the most recent meeting and explains, you know, if you want to improve revenue in the city of Milton, because we're going to suffer under things like the new ad valorem tax reduction because of the inflation adjustment to your homestead deduction. That and some other factors mean that we are entering a period of budgetary constraint. The only way to really expand income in the city of Milton is to expand wastewater customers, as in put people on the sewer instead of putting them on your backyard disposal, right? A septic tank. And if you don't have a wastewater treatment plant that can take that capacity, then you do not have the ability to add customers, and you're going to miss out on money opportunity that way. Which, again, Mike Cusack says, well, that's a waste of investment. The rest of the universe tends to think, no, that's a really good thing. That's why the county is building their own. That's why everybody everywhere is scrambling to try to find, you know, sewer capacity so that we can go off of septic and go on to sewer, because that's vulnerability to the environment and so on. Anyway, but that's what's going on. So $100 million, they're hoping to get away from the penalties hitting them at the end of this year if they are not able to get the water discharge out of the Blackwater River. The actual project they're looking at is kind of multi-part. One part is a pipeline underneath the river in order to, you know, ship the effluent over there to the spray fields. Another part is a dual-purpose pump that will be able to pump effluent-treated now water, easy to pump, actual sewage later, denser, much more difficult to pump, over to the treatment plant that's going to be on the east side of the river. Then you've got to build the plant, and somewhere along all of this, you've got to have either spray fields, most likely, or rapid infiltration basins, less likely, but because it's a little harder to find the right geotechnical work in the ground to make that work. But it's all up in the air. And again, the massive price tag for the all of it is $100 million or north of that. 521 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Someone had a birthday.
Yep, 50. Can't believe it.
50 years of wisdom.
Great segue. We have health news, a CDC update.
Pneumococcal vaccination is now recommended for adults 50 or older. Says here, we're over 6 times more likely to be hospitalized with pneumococcal pneumonia than adults under 50.
I don't love those odds.
Same. Look what I found. Pfizer's Prevnar 20 is proven to help protect adults against pneumococcal pneumonia and invasive pneumococcal disease in just one dose, and millions have already gotten it.
Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you have a severe allergy to its ingredients. A weakened immune system may lower your response. Common side effects include injection site pain and swelling, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138. Visit Prevnar20.com or talk to your doctor or pharmacist.
I'm on Prevnar20.com now, scheduling my appointment.
Good idea. And happy 50th.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. The Pensacola Grand Mardi Gras Parade is Saturday, beginning at 2. Join in the true showcase of community spirit and celebration. Get all the info at PensacolaMardiGras.com. Sunday is the Mardi Gras Parade with Island Atmosphere. The crew of Rex Parade rolls at 2 on Pensacola Beach. See PensacolaBeachMardiGras.com. Find more events and submit yours at NewsRadio923.com.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3 is proud to be a partner in the success of a lot of local businesses. We want your business to be part of this success story in 2025 with our unique platform to showcase your powerful message. Every day, News Radio's Pensacola Expert Panel provides an opportunity unlike any other. Hi, I'm Meg, host of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Let us help you share your message. Contact us to get you and your business part of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Call 850-262-6000.
When you listen to News Radio 92.3 on Saturdays, you get The Garden Line Encore at 9, At Home with Gary Sullivan at 10, Swan Capital at 1, Let's Go Pensacola at 4.
I can't describe it. what I'm feeling and what I'm thinking. This means something. This is important.
Good morning, 524 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. We've got Austin Price sitting in this morning, filling in for, who is my normal producer? It's been changing so much lately.
That John Pickens guy. That's the normal guy.
Well, because you've got you, and then we've got PJ is in here learning how to do this for the rest of the week, so I've got lots of different names floating around. But Austin, good to have you. I assume you've not seen Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
No.
It was only made, 30 years before you were born?
So. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, okay.
A little bit before my time.
Do you know the mashed potato scene? If I say the mashed potato scene, is there any...
That description, no. I have zero clue what you're talking about.
Familiarity. Perfect. Okay. David Wayne is in the news from this morning. Welcome back, David. Good to have you, sir.
Well, thank you. Good morning. Glad to be here. Well, today is the day the Trump administration is set to put civil servants employed by the U.S. Agency for International Development on administrative leave today, as well as cut 2,000 employees from that agency. Of course, that move coming as Elon Musk has told all federal workers to report what they did last week in an email.
What a funny little turf war that's going on right now.
It really
because,
is.
You know, Elon says, justify your job for me. And, you know, and if you don't respond, I'll consider that a resignation. And then you've got the heads of state, defense, FBI. I'm trying to think of, there was another one. There was a couple of them that all said, yeah, not for our employees. And then other ones like, who was it? Other ones are saying like, yeah, go ahead, tell them. Give me your 5 bullet points to justify your existence from last week. Which to me, honestly, doesn't seem like that big of an ask, you know, because the theory is that some people aren't going to be able to give much. Or they're going to give, like, the, you know, give me partial credit kind of answer. You know, so, but who's going to read all of them? Millions of answers.
I don't think they're even designed to be read. I think it's just.
See who participates.
Yeah, we'll see how many employees are maybe just ghost employees on the books, but not really.
We can't even get an answer from these people.
Yeah.
What cracks me up, though, is here's my theory. What percentage of employees who actually answered the demand for 5 bullet points of what you did last week to justify your existence in the federal government? What percentage of them are going to use AI to write their bullet points?
Well, there we go. That's a good
Depends
question.
Depends on age.
Yeah.
40 and up, 0%. 30 and under, 90%. Go on, sir.
Well, Pennsylvania authorities say the man who held staff at a Pittsburgh hospital at gunpoint before killing a police officer that had visited that hospital before the shooting. Police in York County say that... Diogenes Archangel Ortiz, that's the man's name. He was holding hostages at this hospital on Saturday, threatened to kill one person in the hallway when several officers ended up opening fire on him. In California, Governor Gavin Newsom asking Congress to approve an additional $40 billion in aid to help Los Angeles as they're recovering from the wildfires. In a letter asking for support from lawmakers, Newsom outlined how the requested funding would be used to rebuild homes, infrastructure, business, schools, churches, and healthcare facilities. $40 billion.
That's more than DOGE has saved so far already. I mean, according to them, it's 55, but most people estimate it much lower than that, somewhere in the maybe 10 to 20 vicinity. But okay. I mean, it's a lot of money. It's a lot of fire.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, all right, David. Good to have you back, sir. Thank you for the update. 528 here on News Radio 92.3. I always love a good fake news story. You know, like one where at first you see it, and it's always like watch yourself, your reaction. Fake news is designed to make you want to believe it because you want to believe it. You know, it sort of captures something in you that wishes it were true and is hoping that you're... optimism, your desire, will overwhelm your need to fact check. For example, headline, the NCAA is taking away Leah Thomas's medals. Do you see this one on social media? You know, Leah Thomas is the transgender male competing as a female in swimming in the NCAA and won some tournaments and did not win others. Well, it turns out that's fake. It's not an actual story. But I know, you know, some people probably read that and thought, oh, finally, Trump is winning again. Well, I mean, we'll see, but the NCAA is not doing this. It was actually put together by a website that is a satire site or a, you know, a fake news site or whatever you want to call it, humor. Claim originated in an article in SpaceX Mania. It's my favorite news site to go to all the time. SpaceX Mania, a site that describes itself as publishing the freshest fake news, some sassy analysis, and a good dose of satire. I mean, it seems like a reputable source. But, you know, once somebody sees a headline and then they cut it and crib it and meme it for their own, you don't know where it even came from, right? Multiple satire labels actually are in the story, but that doesn't stop people from sharing it as if it's a real thing. And Greg Johnson, NCAA spokesperson, says that to the AP that the results of the race are final. It was the 200-yard freestyle that Leah Thomas had actually won. And so they're not taking any of that away. Also, by the way, just side note, let's see, Austin, you're a sports guy.
I think so.
What rubs you wrong about the story about taking away or remediating the medals for an NCAA race?
It's the same thing with...
Not you missed it.
It's the same thing with vacating
wins.
Nope,
you missed it.
It's pointless.
Nope, you missed it.
It already happened.
They don't give away medals. They give away trophies.
I don't care. I didn't care to notice that.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Pope Francis is fighting for his life in a hospital in Rome.
The last update from the Vatican and the hospital is that he had a good night and that he remains responsive. He is alert. He's still receiving oxygen. The blood transfusions are increasing his blood values because there are also signs of what the Vatican is calling kidney insufficiency.
Fox's Lauren Green in Rome this morning. Pink slips for USAID staffers worldwide.
The Trump administration is eliminating more than 1,000 positions at USAID. The terminations come after a federal judge allowed the administration on Friday to move forward with the mass firings.
Fox's Madeline Rivera. President Trump welcomes the French president to the White House today on the three-year anniversary of Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Leaders expect to discuss a path to peace. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. Cloudy, a little bit rainy this morning. It's 50 degrees in Pensacola. Well, looks like Tri-W Development has now made another offer on Escambia County's OLF 8 property. According to the News Journal, the company submitted another $42.5 million offer for the 540-acre property. The developer did withdraw another offer for that same amount back in January. The proposal includes an earnest money deposit of $100,000, a 180-day inspection period, and closing 45 days after that. Tri-W is a partnership between Alabama-based developer Jim Wilson and Associates and local developers Chad Henderson and former Pensacola Mayor Ashton Hayward. An Alabama high school football coach was arrested in Niceville last week for allegedly having an inappropriate relationship with a student. Deputies in Okaloosa County say 55-year-old Robert Carter was arrested Friday after a traffic stop. Officials say he had an Alabama warrant out and faces multiple charges related to allegedly committing sex acts with a student. He was taken to the Okaloosa County jail. He's since been released to Clark County authorities. Well, art lovers will soon have a new 36-foot mural to look at in downtown Pensacola. It's going to be built or painted, rather, on a building developed at 100 West Garden Street. That's the office for the Pensacola Division of Adams Homes. It'll also have restaurant and office space once a renovation is completed. The mural will be a composite of landmark images from around Pensacola, including the Pensacola Beach Sailfish, and Beach Ball Water Tower, the Blue Angels, the UFO House, and a portrait of Tristan DeLuna. The mural would be visible from Balin Street. It was recently approved by the Escambia County Architectural Review Board. Well, three boaters that ran into problems are now safe, thanks to the Coast Guard. The three people went boating on Saturday. A member contacted the Coast Guard about 1 o'clock in the morning after they hadn't been heard from for 5 hours. This was over near Clearwater. A helicopter from Air Station Clearwater found the boaters near Captiva. They were sitting on top of a capsized boat. A Coast Guard boat from Fort Myers was called in. The three people were safely taken aboard the Coast Guard vessel. There's no word on what caused their boat to capsize. Hundreds of area veterans attended an event at the VA clinic on Saturday to learn about benefits they could be eligible for. That event focused on health care, women's health, suicide prevention, and toxic exposure screenings. There were also local politicians and candidates there. They listened to concerns by those veterans. More than 100 VA claims were processed on site. It is 534 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 forecast.
A wet start to your day, but those showers come to an end as you head into the afternoon. High near 64 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 51. Going into Tuesday, sunny skies with a high near 70 degrees. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 52. Keeping sunshine around on Wednesday with a high near 70 and a low near 59. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And right now, it's a bit rainy and cloudy this morning. We've got 60 degrees in Pensacola. It is 60 in Gulf Breeze, 59 right now in Milton. Our next news at 6, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Jennifer Scordo with Your Money Now. San Francisco-based Substack launched in 2017, and this year they expanded their focus to allow creators to post videos directly through their app and monetize their content without having to navigate algorithms, competing with TikTok. MSG Networks has reached a deal with Altice USA, the fourth largest U.S. cable provider, to bring back the NBA's New York Knicks and the NHL's New York Rangers, New York Islanders, Buffalo Sabres, and the New Jersey Devils. The cable provider had recently blacked out MSG Networks since the beginning of the year. The Biden administration's SAVE plan has been blocked, causing millions of student loan borrowers with a need to find a new way to repay their debt. A U.S. appeals court blocked the program on February 18th. Futures are up as the Dow Industrials finished down 748 on Friday. The NASDAQ was down 438. The S&P 500 down 104. Again, futures.
Northwest Florida businesses pay an average 20% more for phone service. Data Revolution wants to change that. We are your local, service-focused VoIP provider. Right now, offering a free bill review and free installation for new customers. No matter where your team is, Data Revolution can help. Experience the service and support only a locally owned company can provide. Join the revolution at datarevs.com.
At Pinnair Credit Union, we know that road trips don't start by driving into the sunset. A day at the beach doesn't begin with packing the car. Even car shopping doesn't really start at the dealership. Your new car journey begins with an auto loan pre-approval from Pinnair Credit Union, because at Pinnair, auto financing is easy. And when you get pre-approval before you shop, you'll be ready to hit the road when you find the perfect car. Get started at Pinnair.org/car loan. Whether it's new, used, or refinanced, vehicle loans from Pinnair Credit Union fit you perfectly. Federally insured by NCUA, Equal Opportunity Lender.
Hi, this is Todd Thompson, President and CEO of the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel for the Chamber Connection Show that will keep you informed on what's going on with your Chamber of Commerce. Tune in at 10 to find out about our upcoming events, all of our different programs, and what's happening with our local business community. It's the Chamber Connection Show every other Monday at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Are you hungry for news that keeps you informed, is local and dependable? Look no further than News Radio Pensacola on 92.3, 95.3, and on AM 1620. We're your trusted source for all the latest happenings in the Emerald Coast. From breaking news to in-depth reports, we've got you covered. Our team of experienced journalists brings you the stories that matter most to our community. Stay connected with local events, weather updates, and traffic reports, ensuring you're always one step ahead. We're News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
With a purple umbrella and a 50-cent hat. Live it, love it. She's just the warm and the school lights out in her age Cadillac. Live it, love it. She's just the warm.
Whereas the first Navy volunteer program was established between the Naval Air Station Pensacola and the school district of Escambia County, Florida in 1983. And whereas over 20 Military commands have established partnerships with local schools in the school district of Escambia County, Florida. And whereas the men and women who served in the armed forces provide countless hours of volunteer service each year to students and teachers. And whereas the dedicated military personnel serving at Naval Air Station Pensacola and Corey Field Technical Training Center are consistently involved in actively engaging with community outreach programs in collaboration with the school district of Escambia County.
So this is Shanna Payne. She is one of the assistant superintendents in Escambia County. Remember, she was the one that they were kind of dithering. They were, had a hard time making up their mind between her or Keith Leonard to be the superintendent when Tim Smith, well, let's just say, was asked to leave. And very, very awkwardly. Remember that meeting where they were deciding to terminate his contract in the meeting, and then he kind of like got up and walked behind the board as he was being dismissed, and then couldn't figure out whether he was supposed to stay or leave in the meeting. And, you know, it's just kind of one of those, what do I do with my hands? You know, kind of moments. Not a pleasant experience for the whole county, or for certainly for Mr. Smith, for Dr. Smith. Anyway, this is a neat proclamation. They had a couple of neat proclamations in the school board last week. One from Shanna Payne, basically acknowledging the role that the students mostly, but the members of the military serving at NAS Pensacola, the role they have in helping our school kids.
And whereas military volunteers serve as youth motivator mentors and are matched one-on-one with students and spend 1 hour a week at the schools. And whereas military men and women who volunteer in our schools are an integral part of the education of our students. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the members of the School Board of Escambia County, Florida, by this resolution, recognize and proclaim Thursday, February 27th, 2025, as Military Recognition Day. Be it further resolved that a copy of this proclamation be spread upon the minutes of the regular meeting of said board, and that a copy be tendered to the Pensacola Council Navy League of the United States, adopted this 18th day of February, 2025.
I mean, it's one of those things that if you're not involved in this, you wouldn't see. But the number of man hours, or woman hours if you prefer, don't cancel me, that gets, or neither hour, I don't, let's not talk about it. Anyway, the number of person hours, I'm going to stick with man hours, that gets volunteered by, again, mostly the students, but not only the students at NAS Pensacola, every single week across all categories, things like helping out with parades, helping out with, if you go to events that are being put on around town, you'll see volunteers from the base that come over. And then as Shanna Payne is talking about, people volunteering in the schools to be basically, you know, motivator mentors. Think about the significance of those hours in shaping people's lives or making events happen or making sure that volunteers. It's another way in which the military blesses this community that probably most people outside of those directly connected with those activities don't think about very often. So I really appreciate the reminder. And it's true. I mean, it's a lot that our community benefits from, not just the, you know, the presence of folks and they're buying, you know, cars and they're buying groceries and they're spending money and the military impact on this community, which is massive. You know, our economy is somewhere between a third and a half dependent on the military in Escambia and Santa Rosa County, depending on which county. And so we think about it that way. But also in terms of all of the other things that these people do in terms of volunteering the time, it's a really neat story. 437-1620, keeping up on what President Trump and or his, I was about to say minions, or his, don't you think like Elon Musk is a minion? I mean, he kind of looks, he doesn't wear yellow, but he kind of has minion elements, right? He kind of has minion aura. So anyway, the things that have been done recently that we haven't really had much chance to talk about, some more recently than others, but he fired Trump, in this case, got rid of all of the heads of the boards on the five service academies for the United States. So Air Force, Navy, Marines, like got rid, you know, got rid of these people, just wholesale got rid of them. Our service academies have been infiltrated by woke leftist ideologies. It's only capitalized the first words, the first letters there, not the whole word. So not as much emphasis. You know, when you scream and then you're talking at a loud voice, it doesn't seem like it's very loud at all. Over the last 4 years, he wrote on Truth Social, I have ordered the immediate dismissal of the Board of Visitors for the Army, Air Force, Navy, and Coast Guard. That's the Marines. Sorry. President Dodd immediately announced the appointment of new members to the boards. So we'll see. This is part of his general purge of military things. Speaking of that, over the weekend, The big news was that he got rid of General C.Q. Brown, who's been the chairman of the Joint Chiefs for a couple of years. And that one doesn't surprise me. General Brown, I think, has been, you know, one that Pete Hegseth had previously said he wants to get rid of, that he seems to have either inherited or embraced or actually advocated for what, you know, people on my side would say woke, what he would say is diversity, equity, and inclusion. Going back to his comments after George Floyd, an effort to, you know, enhance diversity in the military, something that on the one hand has been very good for the military. You know, I mean, the military led on integration. That's a really good DEI outcome. On the other hand, you know, the perception of it as being, I don't know, anything other than an agency that's going to break things and kill people, you know, second and third and fourth order priorities being made into first order priorities. That's the problem. And so you've got additional firings that came out on the weekend. You have Vice Chief of Staff of the Air Force, General Jim, I think it's Stife, it's Slife, S-L-I-F-E. And then the one that would be more relevant for folks in this town is that the CNO got fired, Admiral Lisa Franchetti. Now, she had been here for the USS Richard M. McCool commissioning. She spoke here. And the weird one about that to me is I thought she was actually doing quite well. She had come out with this big plan of, and if you don't know, the CNO is the senior member of the military in the Navy, and then, of course, she reports to the Secretary of the Navy, who then, of course, reports to the Secretary of Defense, the civilian post. But Admiral Franchetti was, I thought, working on a plan to reinvigorate American shipbuilding, to, you know, restore the Navy to kind of its, you know, once glory kind of position instead of falling on rougher times in a competitive environment against, for example, China. So, and I had not had a chance to really study her plan in depth. I'd listened to her speak about it a couple of times, and at least she would seem to be trying like nobody prior to her had really tried in the same organized, coherent way. So that one, I'm not sure I can understand the justification for it. Now, if what you're going to do is just going to get rid of all the, you know, and of course, General Brown is black, and of course, Admiral Franchetti is a female. So, I mean, if you're getting rid of people who are minorities just because they're minorities, that's a terrible policy to follow. But if you're getting rid of people who have been the leaders, who have the kind of leftover whiff of the Biden administration or something like that, it becomes a little bit more understandable. The replacement for General Brown is going to be Air Force Lieutenant General Dan Kane, a career F-16 pilot, who is the CIA Associate Director for Military Affairs, assuming that he gets confirmed. But he has been, you know, he's nominated as the new chairman for the Joint Chiefs of Staff. I heard one comment by somebody over the weekend where they were basically saying, it's a rough time in international affairs and military matters for us to be, you know, shaking up the leadership. Okay, true, but if you're a new administration, you've got very different priorities than the past administration, and you're wanting to make dramatic changes across the board, including to the military, in order to prepare for the possibility that we might have to at least threaten real good and hopefully not actually get into conflict with Russia, China, et cetera. Well, no time like the present. You know, get your people in place, and if other people are not in line with what you want to do and you worry that they're going to create, you know, pushback or foot dragging for you, then you get rid of them. It is certainly the president's prerogative to do this. That doesn't make it a good thing. As I say, I'm not surprised and I'm not really bothered by General Brown. I am surprised and I'm at least moderately bothered by Admiral Franchetti, but, you know, we'll kind of see how it plays out. 547 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Naval Air Station Pensacola has a significant economic impact in our area. It employs more than 16,000 military and 7,400 civilian personnel, and the headquarters for Naval Education Training Command, a command which combines direction and control of all Navy education and training. There's a lot more you can know by tuning in this morning at 9 and hear what's happening at NAS Pensacola on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Ladies, are you looking to make a big difference in the new year? I'm Martha Holden, president of Impact 100 Pensacola Bay Area, a woman's philanthropic group that has awarded over $17 million to nonprofit organizations in our community. Women 18 and older are invited to upcoming meet and mingle events, with March 1st as our membership deadline. For details, check us out on Facebook or visit impact100pensacola.org.
Unused prescription opioid pain medicines can spell trouble. They can spell risk if taken by someone they weren't prescribed for. Harm if accidentally taken by a child or pet. Or overdose if they're not used as directed. Safely dispose of opioids before they can hurt your family. Find a drug take-back option such as medicine drop boxes. You may find these in your community, at local pharmacies or police stations. Visit www.fda.gov/drug disposal.
Get the Midday News live with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, 11 to 2, before Guy Benson on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Dominic Toretto, you don't know me. You're about to.
Wake up! It's Nine Inch Nails, 5:49 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Ben Scola Morning News. Oh man, Austin, I don't really know what kind of music you like. Austin Price is sitting in for John Pickens this morning. Austin is, what's your genre? What's your musical preference? Oh, I have gosh. You as alternative modern rock.
I'm so diverse, and that's evident in our bumper music in the afternoons. Okay. I'll play like Eric Clapton, and then I'll go into maybe Seether. Who knows?
Oh, all right.
Yeah, wow. I'll give you a little bit of anything.
Way to reach around there for all different sides of that. All right, fair enough. Are you a Nine Inch Nails fan at all?
No, I'm familiar with them, but I don't listen to them.
Okay. I saw him in concert, saw Trent Reznor in concert one time, and had all the early albums, and I've been in this process of going back and catching up on bands I liked, either the albums before I was into them that had never acquired, or the albums since that I've just kind of had stopped, whatever.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Some of the music that he is, With Teeth is fantastic. I can't stop listening to it. So, definitely a parental explicit advisories though, on that one.
Yeah.
On most of what he did. But, how did I not have this for 30 years? 30 years. Anyway, David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David, Burn is not from that. That's from Natural Born Killers. But anyway, go ahead, David.
Well, a planned operation by multiple federal agencies, including Immigration and Customs, was apparently disrupted by activists in California yesterday. Police in Alhambra say they got a call from the FBI about a big multi-agency task force that was gathering at a Target parking lot to make some nearby arrests. But an immigrant rights group showed up at that scene at the same time, apparently had loudspeakers and were chanting and yelling at the agents. Reports say the ICE agents had to leave the scene and did not end up making any arrests after the activists put everything on social media.
All right.
Governor Gavin Newsom asking Congress for $40 billion in aid to help Los Angeles recover from January's wildfires. In a letter asking for support from lawmakers, Newsom outlined how the requested funding would be used to rebuild homes, infrastructure, businesses, schools, churches, and healthcare facilities. And just seeing this report, an American Airlines flight that took off from New York yesterday apparently had to be diverted to Rome Sunday after reports of a possible bomb on the plane. That flight was on its way to New Delhi when it requested the diversion. The request was granted. Italian fighter jets escorted the plane to Leonardo da Vinci Airport, where it landed safely and was met by law enforcement. No updates yet on that one.
Yeah, for me, the takeaway is there's a Leonardo da Vinci Airport. I mean, that's kind of, that's kind of cool. I like that. Their heroes are a little bit older than our heroes.
Yeah, we've got, a Reagan.
Years at
yeah,
most,
we got a Reagan
best.
International.
Yeah, right. I mean, Reagan's great, but Reagan's no Da Vinci. Anyway, have you traveled at all? Europe, anywhere outside of the U.S.?
No.
That's the one thing that when I've traveled, the thing that strikes me every time is you'll go see the ruins of some castle, or some monastery.
You'll be reminded of how young the U.S. is.
Yeah, and what I at least think is, so that was a ruins 600 years before America even existed.
Right.
It was in its heyday 1,000 years before the U.S. was even thinking about whatever it was. And just, it does put things in perspective sometimes. David, thanks so much for the update. 5:53 on News Radio 92.3. Some events are coming up. The Art of Fashion. Step into the sands of the Art of Fashion show, the Time Sands, benefiting Covenant Care on April the 3rd. Your tickets unlock exclusive pre- and after-party access, a mesmerizing fashion show, two drink vouchers, And delicious hors d'oeuvres. Don't miss the unforgettable. You know how easy it is to, if you're reading something, to say hors d'oeuvres wrong? Because that is a very poorly spelled word.
It does not look at all like how it's pronounced. No,
oh,
I get
look,
that.
Delicious hearty horrors. no, don't miss this unforgettable Middle Eastern-inspired evening. Get tickets now. That's for the Art of Fashion. Also, the Clover Pickleball, Fill a Bowl for Mana comes up March 13th. That is always a good event. Oh, my goodness. I had not done that. I did that last year for the first time. Oh, that's good stuff. I mean, people were laughing at me because I will try everything. I will have 20 bowls out in front of me.
Yeah.
Because I want to try it all. Yeah, and I'm there to, you know, the good stuff, yes, and the other stuff. I mean, stuff that is not my personal preference, I'll put it that way.
Right.
And there's always going to be stuff like that. And all I know is Bob Solarski's lobster bisque is, if that's all you get, then that's all you need. It's fantastic. Anyway, every ticket provides 30 meals for neighbors in need. Get yours today. And that is always a packed out, a really, really good event. Let's see. What else do we have going on? I was talking about some of the things that Trump has done, and this is one that I'm not sure if he's done or if he's talked about doing, but it's a really interesting one because for years people have been talking about getting rid of the penny. The penny, you know, Lincoln, copper, outside anyway, the penny is worth, quick test,
1 cent. Happy to be here, everybody. Yeah. I know my way around.
How much
economics.
Does a penny cost to make?
Doesn't it cost like two or, yeah, okay, you're holding up three. I was about to say two or 3 cents. Yeah.
It's 3 cents, yeah. Pennies cost 3 cents to make, and most people look at that as this surely is the most government thing ever.
Right.
Right, that in order to put into circulation a unit of currency worth 1/100th of a dollar, we spend 3/100ths of a dollar, meaning that theoretically, if you just stole the pennies and put them in your pocket, and then sold them back to the federal government later, you'd be making a 200% profit on your, right? Because if a penny's worth 3 pennies,
right,
and you can amass enough of them, at some point you could go to the federal government and say, you know what, I got out bad because I got a truckload of what you need. And you can save them money because they don't have to. Anyway, nobody's going to do that. But you get what I mean, it's ridiculous. We spend. So the theory is get rid of the penny. For the longest time, this has been the idea. And by the way, my wife worked for a long time at Olin Manufacturing. They do all kinds of stuff, but they own Winchester, and they made brass. They made mint money. They used to mint the nickel, I think, maybe the quarter. I think they even did the Sacagawea dollar for a time. So she's kind of, you know, engineer-wise, she's very connected to all of this. Just kind of a little bit of history that I have with it. So the argument is if you get rid of the penny, then what do you have? What's the next smallest unit of measure?
Nickel.
The 2 cent piece, right?
Oh.
Just joking.
I was about to say, you know, right, hey, there was a $2 bill. Maybe there's a, you know, 2 cent coin that I don't know about.
Here's the problem. Anything that is the smallest unit of money measurement, you're going to need more of because it's the smallest unit of money measurement. So if you get rid of pennies, you now have to have more nickels because you have to have more ability for people to differentiate very small differences in price transactions through nickels. What's the problem? Well, how much does a nickel cost to make? Any idea? You want to take a guess? Take a stab. I know you don't know the answer. It's okay.
I'll say, I don't know, 12 cents.
Very close. 14 cents.
Oh, wow.
A nickel, it's 13.8. But a nickel that's, you know, it's about 3 cents of administrative and it's about 11 cents of actual materials. So a nickel costs you 14 cents. And here's what that means. 5 cents of pennies cost the federal government 18 and a half cents. Because 5 times 3 and the fraction, okay?
Right.
A nickel costs 14 cents. So to replace 5 pennies with each nickel would actually be a cost savings of about 4 cents apiece. But it doesn't wind up working that way. You'd have to actually produce billions of nickels in order to make this work. I'm just out of curiosity, because I didn't know this. You wouldn't know unless you happen to know. Does a dime cost more than a dime to make? What do you think?
I'm going to say no because of how small it is.
That's exactly right. It is small, and it only costs about 8 cents to make a dime.
Okay.
So it's the one unit of measure that starts to make sense.
Things are looking up.
Makes sense. Sorry. That's an alternate spelling of sense. How about a quarter? What do you think?
Ooh, I'll say that cost 18 cents to make.
Yeah, pretty close. It's like 15 or 16, wow, something like that. So, yeah, the bigger it is, the bigger the monetary unit, then obviously the higher the ratio to its cost. So, you know, you hear this talked about as should we get rid of the penny? And there's been this debate has been going on for decades, getting rid of the penny, because it's of no worth. Nobody cares about it. It doesn't really help. Nobody needs it. If we got rid of it, we'd be fine. I didn't know in reading about this. that Canada no longer makes pennies.
Really?
You know, the little, what is it, the olive leaf? I forget what it's some leafy thing on theirs. They don't make that anymore. They stopped in 2012. And you're not even allowed to use them anymore as of 2013. So they're not even legal currency anymore in Canada. Yeah, Trump can stop making them if he wants to. He can't make them no longer be acceptable as money. That takes an act of Congress. So we'll, you know, I feel like, you know, I say this a lot with Trump. We'll see. We'll kind of see how this plays out. But, you know, when you're going to shuffle up literally everything that government does, you kind of have to say we'll see a lot. What is this here? Somebody says, why can't we make a penny out of a different metal that is cheaper? One would think, we know we did make them out of aluminum, steel, aluminum in World War II, back when copper was more necessary. So could be done. Sure.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3 WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.